you're listening to the words of the songs that you sang this morning? Good, Neil. Good. How about this one? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King. A thousand tongues. Well, you only have one, but let's use it for His kingdom. Oh, to proclaim the riches of our Savior, to tell every man, every woman, every child about the greatness of God. I want to speak to you this morning about seizing the day to do just that. I want to talk to you this morning about seizing the door, walking through the door of opportunity that God gives to you in your life and that He gives to us as a church. So this is, in one sense this morning, it's going to be a message from the Word of God, but it's also an insider talk. So if you're here for the first time today, we welcome you. We're going to talk about some insider things that you're going to hopefully get a heart for what we're about as a church. For those of you who are members and friends of Calvary, this is an important talk. It's an important time this morning to look into God's Word and to try to surface for ourselves as a congregation what God is up to in our congregation and what is ahead for us in the door of opportunity. What do you see through the door? It's Erie. It's Erie, Colorado. And so I want you to know already that I'm talking about the door of opportunity that God has for our church. And I want to begin by looking into the Scriptures at the doors of opportunity that God gave in the New Testament. So will you open your Bible to Acts chapter 14? Acts chapter 14. While you're turning there, a couple important things that I will just say to you. Isn't it great to live in Boulder? Yeah, you may not live in Boulder, you may live in Erie, but it's great to be in this community. We're home of the Big 12 North Conference champions. It's just a great place to live. And I love living here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else until the Lord calls me. And I suspect that someday, either to heaven or some other place, but wherever the Lord leads, we go. Now, this is Christmas season, and Christmas season is the time of year that capitalizes on your longings, and sometimes your envy, and sometimes your covetous streak. And just friend to friend, pastor to people, let me just say, be on guard about this. There's a strategy to lure you, and don't get caught. There's 20 days left. Shopping days left till Christmas. And so I read through the paper yesterday. I was reading some of the advertisements. Okay, these are the phrases. Exclusive offer. Okay, or on television. Not found in stores. Saturday only. Open at 5:30 a.m. Coupon good till 11:30 a.m. An extra 20% off today only. Once in a lifetime offer. From Foley's. You could be a winner. Scratch and win Saturday, December 3rd only. End of the year blowout sale, clearance sale while supplies last, final hour, 4-hour early bird sale, limited to the first 100 customers. Okay, you know, you start looking through the ads and you say, man, I better take advantage of this or else I'm going to miss out. And we're programmed then to sort of trigger and say, well, I better get down there, bring my checkbook. And, you know, when it comes to what God is up to, sometimes we can just say, oh, yeah, well, that's what God's up to. But I want you to see that when God opens a door of opportunity, the same kind of urgency in us as a good sale, you know, ought to spur us to say, okay, if God is up to something, what does He want me to do? And very much the way God would prepare His people before in the Old Testament, they would go to battle or go to conquer a land or to move where God wanted them to go, they would have a period of consecration together. And they would sometimes fast, they would wait, they would worship, they would pray. And in a sense today, that's what this service is about. Because on Tuesday of this week, we have a very big decision as a congregation. And I want to just gather us together and say, what does God want us to do? And I want to be prayerful. I want you to be open to what God has. And I want to encourage you what we think the Lord has for us. But we want to prepare our hearts and say, if the Lord wants us to do this, please make it known to us. So let me lead us in prayer, and then I want to read from Acts chapter 14. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon this congregation today and upon me. And I admit that I long for your power in my life to assist me in proclaiming your word and in leading Calvary Bible Church. Precious Spirit, will you speak to every person seated in this room exactly the message that you want them to hear from God? And I pray, Father, that out of our time together, it will be a serious, sober, holy experience of preparation, of hearing from God, sensing your leading, and saying to you, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. In fact, I ask you right now, members of this audience, if you would just say to God, God, what you speak to me today, I will do. I want to be obedient to you. And even if there's something that we need to confess and forsake, give us courage and faith, God, that we would do that. If there is a burden that we must lay down, by faith, trust you for the outcome. Oh God, give us help that we'll do that. If there's a relationship that's broken in our life, God, would you give us courage to try to go mend that? If there's a step of obedience that you are asking us to do today, Lord, would you help us to know it? And we want to respond to you with a heart of readiness and willingness to do all that God asks of us. And so we pray, oh Father, please lead us today. This is your time. Speak to us. We give you our lives. We give you our mind. Help us not to be distracted. Will you focus our attention on your word, and will you bring to our minds what you want us to hear? This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 14, verse 19. After an amazing event in a city called Lystra, where the Apostle Paul healed a man, verse 19 tells us that the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came down to Lystra, having won over the crowds, and they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up. I think that's just amazing. And don't miss that. Okay, that's an instantaneous, miraculous work of God. They supposed him to be dead, and he stood up. Psych. Okay, that's God raising him up. He has more work to do. He got up and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after he had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, and then to Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. A hard saying, but I hope you'll underline it in your Bible. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had accomplished. And when they had arrived, they gathered the church together, and they began to report all the things that God had done with them, and how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, several times in the New Testament, you see this phrase, that God opened a door to faith, or he opened a door to the Gentiles, or he opened a door so that he could do something. And when the scriptures speak in this way, it means that God is working behind the scenes to create a series of circumstances so that he can accomplish something that only he knows about. God opens a door of opportunity. Now, if you count all the cities that are named there, you'll find 8 cities that Paul kept moving about, moving from city to city. And the reason he kept moving was because God kept pushing him forward and God kept creating opportunity. And where there was opportunity, Paul went and he did what God wanted him to do. I'm going to give you a couple principles this morning that will help us think about seizing the opportunities that God has for us. The first one is very simple. It's just this, that it's God himself who is the one who creates opportunities for the advance of his church. We can't manufacture it. We can't create it. It's God who sovereignly says, here's an opportunity, I give it to you. Here's a venue that I want you to make my name great in. And we look to God to creating opportunities for us as a church. And I want you to think, in my life, God creates opportunities for me to make him known. Now, there are a lot of opportunities in this season for you to participate in what God wants to do. There's the concert of prayer tonight, a kids program next week, the concert on the 18th, Christmas Eve, where many people have an open idea about a readiness to go to church or to talk about the things of God. And God's creating those opportunities. I want you to have eyes to see. Maybe there's somebody God wants me to connect with this Christmas who has a heightened awareness of spiritual things. But God creates those opportunities. And he opens the door as Paul went from city to city. And he opens doors for us as a church as well. Now, one of the ways that God has opened opportunities for us as a church is through our website. And just recently, we've begun to learn that our website and the messages and the ministries that are referred to on there, people are connecting with outside of Calvary. I got 2 emails this week, one from a former member who had been a member at Calvary for 6 years, wrote me this. I decided to send you a note to thank you for the sermons and ministries posted on Calvary's website. My wife and I used to be members at Calvary, but recently moved to Berthoud, instead of Longmont, where we previously lived. The longer drive, now with 2 kids, make it difficult to continue going to Calvary. We had a great small group, many good friends. It was a really hard decision to leave, but we really appreciate your preaching and the passion in the pulpit and all the ministries of Calvary. We recently began attending a church in Berthoud and are finding our new church home and enjoy our new pastor, but really miss Calvary. The reason I want to thank you is only last night did I track down the website and I was checking out Calvary. And I downloaded a sermon and I listened to it. I'm going through conversations with God and I was really excited to get my prayer life back on track. I wanted you to know that God is reaching other people outside those who sit in your pew every Sunday. And I still pray for God's work at Calvary. Greg LaRue. Greg and Laura used to be here. Bless them. Then I got a note from this woman by the name of Deanne. She starts, "My name is Deanne Phillips. I am a virtual attender of your church. I live in New Orleans, but I listen online to your teaching, and it's been a blessing." She goes on to talk about how Katrina impacted her and how she got connected with some other person. She's been telling people about our website and listening to our messages. And she said, "I'll continue attending out here." Rebecca said, "Okay, you send your tithe too." "No, I didn't." "No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that." But the people are connecting in different ways to Calvary. I got another note this week from someone who, a fascinating story about a couple who are here in our church who connected to Calvary when they were thought they had to move up here and came up and visited. They checked out Boulder churches and found Calvary as one of them. They visited here. And they were here 2 years ago on the Sunday morning when we reported about Kingdom Assignments. And so they heard everything that was going on about Kingdom Assignments. They were still living in Dallas at the time and moved back there to Dallas and said, "Boy, if we ever get to Boulder, that would be a great church for us." Well, it so happened that in the meantime, he was still working up here periodically. And so they're living in Dallas's Johnson's, and they're living up living in Dallas, but he was working up here. And he's in the airport. He's in DIA, returning to Dallas. And he looks over, and there are his three pastors from Dallas in DIA's airport. He said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" "I work up here." And the pastor said, "Well, we were just at a conference at Calvary Bible Church. We just learned about kingdom assignments. And next thing you know, they're doing kingdom assignments down in Dallas at this church," which was their church. "Well, the Johnsons have since moved here." And they sent a note and said, "Man, we love being here." Okay, no, all I can say is that, remember those kingdom assignment events? We looked at that and said, "Man, that's an opportunity that God has given us. Should we do it?" Yeah. If you can believe it, when we did kingdom assignments, people left Calvary. They said, "We don't like that idea." And left. But we look at it and say, well, that's what God wanted us to do. We had a real clear sense about it, and we did it. It was an opportunity. We just knew God created that opportunity, and we did it. And again, from city to city, we can sense what God is doing. And that's the way God's working in the world, from city to city to city. And we're hoping that that's what's going to happen in Erie, Colorado. It'll be another city where God makes his name great. Number two, let me give you another principle that sort of surfaces out of this text. And that is that sometimes opportunities come to us and they actually arise out of adversity, out of unfavorable circumstances. Have you ever had something happen that you thought, "Oh no, this is a disaster," and then sort of pass through it, and at the other side of it you say, "Wow, this was so much better than I ever dreamed." You ever had that? We have. We've had that experience as a church. And we may be on the very brink of this experience right now, where we were surrounded here at Calvary for many years with 30 other acres. And many of us dreamed that sometime in the next decade, we would acquire 10 more, or 20 more, or 30 more of those acres around us and really build a massive church here. Great church for God in Boulder. But that didn't happen. And those doors kept closing, and it just didn't seem possible that that was going to happen. And we just said, "All right, if the Lord doesn't provide that for us, that'll be okay. But what do you have next for us?" And then those experiences started to open up other doors, and I want to tell you a couple things that happened. For a year and a half, the elders started praying. And we just said, "Lord, what do you want for Calvary Bible Church next?" And we looked at several options. From building this site to be really big to closing this site altogether and moving to Erie. Or planting a church or planting a sister church. We looked at everything. What does God want for us? And after praying and thinking, we just said, "You know what? This is the place God wants us. We've been in Boulder for 116 years and we're not moving. We just really sense God wants us here. But is there something else? Maybe Erie also." And so we started praying about it. We connected with the high school. And you've been praying about that. Well, I'm here to report this week that Monday night at 4:50 in the afternoon, the principal of Erie High School called. And he said, "If you want Erie High School, you can have it." And yeah. I mean, that's an... we were praying. That's another answer. Came in under our expected budget. He said, "Wow." Well, I said, "We have a congregation meeting on Tuesday, December 5th, and we can't sign anything, can't agree to anything until the congregation says, yes, we think this is what God wants. Is anything going to happen between now and next Tuesday?" He said, "No, but another church has come in since you were here, and if you don't want it, they want it. And if you take Sunday morning, they're going to take Saturday night." I said, "All right. We'll let everybody know, and we'll keep praying about it. Thanks. We'll talk to you Wednesday morning." So, a little reminder that that's coming Tuesday night. But we look at that and say that's an answer to prayer that comes out of what we didn't expect. At the top of your page is a verse from Colossians. I want you to take a deep breath. We're going to put it on the screen here, and I want you to read it out loud together. We talk about open doors of opportunity. "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've been imprisoned." Remember, this point that we're talking about is that sometimes doors of opportunity come through adversity. Here's Paul in prison saying, let's keep praying. Let's be devoted to praying. Because even as we pray, here in prison, God may open up a door for the word. And lo and behold, that's exactly what God did for Paul. Through all the Praetorian Guard, through the Roman prison system, God used Paul to lead people to Christ and to make his name known there. Now, I want to say that this, we're praying that the opportunity that we are on the brink of will come to reality because we keep praying. We're just praying, Lord, what do you want? Is this your will? Will you make it known? Will you make it known to your congregation? Will you make it known to us through many events and circumstances that just fall into place? And we just say, this is absolutely what the Lord wants us to do. And even if things maybe don't go perfectly, they may not go exactly as we envision. We draw it up and, you know, draw plan A and that doesn't work. So you draw plan B, but we just say, Lord, what do you want for us? We definitely want to do it. Now, it requires that we pray, so we're in this 100 days of prayer. We're still doing that. We're still praying. We're giving thanks to God. But what we're asking for is that the door will be open for the preaching of the Word of God. And that's what we envision in Erie. Now, in another place, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, a wide door of effective service is open for me. And there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. If you embark to do the work of God and venture out to do something, you can be sure that there's going to be adversaries for what God wants you to do. Right? Every time we step out in faith, we know that there are going to be adversaries. But that doesn't mean the step's wrong. It just means we may need to say, God, we pray more. We trust you more. What do you want to do? What do you want to take us through? What do you want to do in our lives? Because we want to follow you. No matter what. So here we are on the brink of a big decision as a congregation. I just want you to say, okay, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to say, Lord, are you in this? Do you want us to go? And will you get me ready? Because if you want us to go, I want to go. So three, then, let me just give this as the last. The only response we can make then is this. Our response is to follow by faith with boldness. And if necessary, what? Say it louder. Yeah. If necessary, sacrifice. I mean, could we say that if God is saying, I want you to do this, you'd say, all right, I will. And if this is what God wants for us, I will go. God leads, I step. God leads, I step. And I'll do it with boldness. And when I step with God, I may have to sacrifice in order to make this happen. Now, I want to say that to you because this is a major venture for our congregation. And if this is to happen in Erie, and on Tuesday night at our business meeting, all the members who come, all of you who come on Tuesday night to cast your vote, in your vote you are saying, yes, I really believe this is what God wants for us. And in order for that to happen, then I am committing myself to do what is necessary, to do what I know God wants for our church. Which will mean then that I will be committed to attending faithfully, giving regularly, inviting others, and serving. Attend, invite, and serve. And I want everybody, whether you stay in Boulder or whether you go to Erie, to be thinking, okay, a whole new mindset. Attend, invite, serve. Because what's going to happen is that those who have been involved in service here at Calvary, some of them are saying, man, I have a really pioneering spirit. I want to be a part of something new. And they're going to vacate their spot of service here and leave a hole where they used to be. And somebody else is going to have to step up and say, I'll take that post. And so we're going to say, yes, I will. Now remember, on Tuesday night when we vote as a congregation, we're just prayerfully saying, do we think this is what God wants for us? And this is your chance to tell us what you sense God leading you. And if you don't vote on Tuesday, you can't complain on Wednesday. Okay? And so we want you to know, my role, if this happens, this is going to be a big step for our church. It's a step of faith where we're going to be broadening our outreach. We're going to be stepping out into new territory and trusting God. And it is going to be a great, great adventure. Now, we think that God's already done many things. We told you that the elders have been praying about this for a year and a half and totally excited. The high school said yes. We asked the congregation, who's already interested in being a part of this? And we had a first wave of responders, and 56 adults said, I want to be there. I'm going to commit to being out there for the first year. And another 30 or so said, maybe if I know what's going to happen. You look over this list and say, we have enough. I think we've got a core group that will say, we'll make it happen. And man, we want to just trust the Lord for that. Tuesday night at our meeting, it was the last open forum. We answered a lot of questions for folks. In fact, there's a document on the back at the Welcome Centers that you can take out today when you leave Calvary that explains how we think it's going to happen. But we asked a couple of the people who were really excited about it, say, well, tell us why you're excited. Tell us why you want to go to Erie, and here's what a couple of our members said.
I am very excited about the East Campus idea because it's a way to go to a mission field, and I don't need a passport.
We moved into Vista Ridge about 2.5 years ago. We were one of the first people out there, and there weren't a whole lot of kids. But every single morning I see now the bus comes along, and there are more and more and more kids getting on that bus. And I think about all of those kids who live out there, and there really isn't anything in our area for them to go and do. And I know that church people in our area really don't have a place to attend. So I have that same desire for them to have the opportunity to come to know Christ and have a relationship with Him that is a little bit limited for them right now, because I know they're not going to drive 20, 30 minutes to get out there. So the opportunity is really just to have a place established for them to worship and hear the gospel is really big for us.
The energy that I'm feeling when I talk to people about this opportunity is just incredible. It's stirring up all kinds of feelings in people about evangelism and their comfort levels, where they are. I think what it will do is affect both campuses. The East and the West campus will have more of a feeling of a mission field rather than a home church comfort feel. And I know that New Church has generated a lot of excitement. I know that I'll be able to tap into that excitement when I'm talking to my neighbors on my cul-de-sac, and I'm just very excited about that opportunity.
It's a gift. We should use it.
It's the right thing to do at this point in our church history.
Well, that's Kirk and Steve, longtime members, and they live out there, so they have a vision for that area. And all we want you to be praying about now is, okay, God, what's my role? Go or stay, what's the door of opportunity for me? And before we make this major decision as a congregation, we want to just get together and say, Lord, guide us. Lord, direct our steps. And Lord, if there's something in me that's resisting this, and this is from you, what do I need to do? So just as Israel prepared themselves for major steps in their history, this is our chance today to say, Lord, we stop this morning, and we just pray and say, you prepare us. Is there a major door open for us that we have to walk through? And if we walk through it, what will it take? It'll take boldness and faith, earnestness and prayer, and maybe sacrifice. Because there'll be change. Your cheese will move. Things will be a little bit different. But what is going to be good and big is the door for God to do something that we've never dreamed.